Okay, shall we start? Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Staffan Jonsson, and I work as policy advisor at the CCTLD, or the top-level domain administrator for Sweden. I'm happy to see so many of you here today. We must be at least 100 people in the crowd, I hope, or in the audience. Today, we have four speakers addressing the issue: is there a future ICT policy at E-Union 2015? First, it is Anders Hector at the Swedish Ministry of Enterprise, Energy and Communications, and specifically the Division for ICT Policy, so he should know. Secondly, it's Jean-Jacques Sahel, Director in Government and Regulatory Affairs in Europe at Skype. We'll have a third speaker representing civil society named Stefan Görling, or Görling, and he is coordinator of the initiative called Our Visby Agenda.eu. And finally, we have Östen Fromberg representing the engineering society in Sweden. It's a brief description of this organization. As you probably all know, there is a meeting at the island of Gotland next week in Visby, addressing under the auspice of the presidency of the European Union, the Swedish presidency. There's a meeting in Visby addressing a future EU ICT policy. This seminar is intent to give to feed this coming week's meeting, to give ideas from other actors than are actually invited to the meeting next week. There are some practicalities in this seminar. We have four speakers, as I told you. They will hopefully speak for about 1 hour, and we'll have a short panel discussion on stage for the last half hour or so. Hopefully, we can keep main or really complicated issues or questions towards the end of the seminar. But if you want short questions after every speaker, that is fine, just to define what they actually mean when they speak. This seminar will be documented. We will have recordings, and they will be published on the website internetdagarna.se on MP3 files. And the speeches may be filmed as well. I don't see a camera here, so I guess they won't be today, this specific seminar. So, this is, contrary to what you see on the stage, quite formal event. This is a seminar, and I hope you all will participate in this discussion, especially at the end. There's a duality between the home-like environment on the stage and that we actually are on the stage as itself, in itself. You are comfortably set back in your chairs, and it almost like a TV sofa at home. But please start already now and participate in the seminar. There are microphones placed on both sides, and we have a running microphone as well for questions, if you would like. And please remember to formulate your questions or views on what is actually said here today, so we get an interaction between speakers and audience. And with all those practicalities, I'll happily welcome Anders Hector from the Ministry of Enterprise, Energy and Communications in Sweden.
Thank you, Staffan. Thank you very much, Staffan. Staffan used to be a colleague, and we hated to lose him from the ministry, but it's also very valuable to have someone with policy understanding working elsewhere. So, this is much appreciated. And thank you also very much, ex-colleague, for the invitation to this event. I'm very happy to be here, and I'm happy to see this crowd here as well. And I'm also glad it's in English, actually, because it's important to reach out outside of the Swedish audience. See if I can find my presentation. No, I can't. There. Don't be terrified by the title when it says long. Staffan, where do I start? There. There, okay. Excuse me. I'll try not to overdraw and keep it a little bit brief. We have been working with this for quite a while at the ministry, me and my colleagues, some of which are in the audience, and we're very excited now that it's actually next week that we're going to have this conference, and we have been able to reach some milestones so far. This is the website where you'll be able to find information about the conference and download all the relevant documents as well. Let me say something of the overarching objectives with the presidency, the Swedish presidency. In terms of information and communication technologies, our objectives are working for the creation of an eco-efficient economy. And eco-efficient, in this sense, includes both the fight against the climate change and strengthening the European economy. And we believe strongly that there is no contradiction in working for climate as well as working for productivity increase, new jobs, innovation, and economic growth. This is the basic premise for why we believe so strongly that information technology really has a continued contribution to give to society. This shows a plot of enterprises and their each enterprise's productivity. So it's evidence on a firm level, on a micro level, for the relationship between the number of employees connected to high capacity broadband and the growth of the company, the productivity increase by the company. And it's a big scatter, you can see from this plot, but the trend is also very clear that the more employees that you have linked to high capacity broadband, the higher productivity growth for the individual company. And this also reflects to how information technology contributes to society and to economic growth. Anyway, so for the presidency, we knew that the I-2010 strategy, which is the European policy strategy for information technology that has been running since 2005, were reaching its target date and that it would need some renewal. This is the process of the Commission. They have the right to initiative and they will form the new initiative for a new strategy. But also the member states, obviously, through the council, has a great influence on the work of the council. So this is what we wanted to do in Sweden during the Swedish presidency, to give a good, strong contribution from what the member states think about the future ICT policy, what it should look like, to the work of the Commission to form a new strategy. And we're doing this by a conference we're having in November, starting Monday, and a preparatory report for that. But we started a little bit earlier. I'm sorry for the titles of these reports being in Swedish, because we commissioned the reports in Swedish. Before we commissioned this major report, we wanted to take a step back and look at how should we phrase the procurement? What are we actually looking for? So we asked four questions and made these reports on them. What the future will bring in terms of technological innovation, which became a report looking at the technology foresight studies that have been made in Europe and elsewhere over the last 7 years approximately. And I can tell you there's quite a few. And we were looking specifically at the overlaps and outliers in these foresights. The next question we asked was, what will be the extent of public responsibilities and commitments? That is, how far will the public commitment to citizens and enterprises reach? Will it be a minimalistic government commitment, or will it be a major one? So we made a report about that, or we had a report about that. Should I speak louder? Perhaps they could raise the volume. Thank you. The third issue was what is the connect between information technology and growth? And we saw the connect earlier. And will this connect continue? Will growth continue? And we saw that the growth between 1995 and 2000 was mainly in the ICT sector itself. This is perhaps very familiar to many of you. But after 2000 and 2005, between 2000 and 2005, growth was not as high in the ICT sector itself, but actually resided outside of the ICT sector from the use of information technology in other sectors, which is a significant shift, we would say, but also a very reassuring shift. And the last question is about how values will change. So we made a workshop with a consultancy company to investigate that. And these reports are available in Swedish from the government website. Let me know if you are interested in them. I'll make sure that you find them very long URL probably. So then we commissioned, based on this, we wrote a specification for the report that we procured, and the winning bid was from a study team made up of three English and one Swedish researchers / consultants, framed as SEF associates. Simon Forge is the lead consultant. Erik Bolin is a professor in Chalmers University in Sweden. Martin Cave is a professor at Warwick University in UK, and Colin Blackman is also in UK. He's an editor. And the question we asked them to look at was, which are the most important policy questions the EU faces in the area of ICT and information society? And what trends underlie these or affect these new questions? They made interviews and workshops and struggled with the material they found and came up with a result. This is how they, obviously they had a lot of different policy wishes on the table, and they sifted through it and made their own independent analysis of this and came to 10 different items that they included. I will come back to these, so I'm sorry for rushing through them. That they presented in the report, A Green Knowledge Society. Now I should have it and wave it in the air because it looks nice, but I forgot to bring it. The policy areas, there are four slides illustrating the different policy areas. The first is a vision for a green knowledge economy, which is how they phrased the totality of the results of the findings, based on the assumption that the ICT-based society is moving towards a knowledge-based society. Connected to this, they found a strong commitment to environmental responsibility for the future. And the 10 different, to quickly run through the 10 different items, the first one is phrased as, it takes as a stepping stone Barroso's statement that there is a need for a radical transformation for a European knowledge-based society. And they framed this as a knowledge economy, which entails commitments to education and barriers to realizing this knowledge economy, one of them being IPR. I'll get back to that later. The second item is they phrased as the knowledge society, which is to be understood as a requisite for acceptance, for access to networks and internet, and take up of this and use of this as well, and the different policy actions that they think are needed to realize this. The third area is how to move on the carbon objectives of society, as ICT, from several analysis that has been made, shows great promise to deliver. One study illustrates that by using information technology more cleverly, you will be able to reduce the overall carbon emissions by 15% by 2020, in the process raising the ICT footprint from 2% to 2.8%. And they also thought that there would be a European first mover advantage from doing this specifically in Europe. The fourth item concerns infrastructure and the regulation connected to how the public engages in realizing next generation networks. Soft infrastructure is, in the wording of the consultants, concerns different kinds of services like e-health, not e-government though, they have a different headline for that. The sixth area, they found that there is a need for a special commitment to support SMEs and SME take-up of information technology. There are most companies in Europe are small companies or small medium-sized companies, and they have been struggling with connecting to making use of all the different services that the internet or that computers, I should say, enable them to have. For many years, they would need to have their own server. They would need to have all kinds of licenses for software and all kinds of knowledge to run this. But now, with the cloud, it's very much possible to make use of a very advanced services from a very simple computer, obviously, and internet connection. There is a need to educate small and medium-sized enterprises to learn about this and to get started. The seventh area concern the single information market, which is also something that's very much present in the objectives of the I-2010 strategy, and it continues to be a very, very important policy area. The eighth area is e-government and the implementation deficit that we have from the objectives we have had with e-government. The ninth area are concerning, how should I say, the flow of information. If we want to establish as free as possible flow of information, it's important to remove barriers to this flow, and trust and confidence in users that they can safely turn to the internet to use the internet, we believe is a very significant such barrier, and the consultants thought so too. The tenth item, which is not the favorite policy action for the Commission, concerns the work of the Commission and other EU institutions as well. How to implement policy. Everybody are quite aware that information technology has a very, very much a horizontal nature. It's sectorial in the sense that there is often a ministry responsible for information technology infrastructure, but it's also very much horizontal because it touches upon so many different areas, and it requires a great thought on how to design the leadership. This report, we did not make a open consultation of it, but rather we put it out there and asked for people to comment on it, and we wanted also to have a debate about the report in conjunction with other reports as well, and there are quite a few. Obviously, the Commission has made a communication which is called the Digital Europe Competitiveness Report, which is significant. The European Internet Foundation, Cable Europe, GSM Association, and Digital Europe are also other stakeholder groups that have been producing their own reports. Our WISPI agenda, we will hear more about later, which is a very exciting civil initiative or private initiative from our point. We think it's really exciting, and we look forward to the results there as well. I hope they don't feel that we hug them to death by saying that we welcome it. But it's very important. To say something of the timeline, where we are, well, next stop now is the conference in Visby. There is the communication report, which is the first one, came in August. Then our report came. Now we'll have the conference. And after that, what will happen? There will be council working groups in the council, the Transport, Telecommunications and Energy Council in December. And that we will negotiate with the other member states about council conclusions that the council will give to the Commission after that. And then on the other side of the New Year's, the Commission will unveil their initiative for a new policy agenda. There will also be a very important new initiative for a post-Lisbon agenda. And information technology policy connects very much to overriding socio-economic objectives of the European Union, such as jobs and growth and environmental objectives. And for ICT policy to gain momentum, it needs to connect very closely to the overriding objectives. Next year, the Spanish, there will be a Spanish presidency, and it will be on their table to deliver. So this is the website. We have the final program for the conference will be up there this afternoon or tomorrow morning. If you have no opportunity to be at the conference, you will be able to take part of it by the different interactive choices. We will webcast it, and we will happily take questions from everybody and anybody during the conference as well. I'll skip that. So, what do we believe the results will be? Wednesday next week, we will have presidency conclusions from the conference, a brief paper or a non-paper, a few pages long, stating what the presidency, the Swedish presidency, disregarding largely what other member states think about the results of the work with the report and the conference. And then there will be the council conclusions on December 18th. This small print slide is only to show something of the overlay or the overlap of the different items that are on the table. To the left, the green column are, in the back, you can't see. Or you're waving to someone. Okay. To the left, you will see the 10 items of the Green Knowledge Society report, and to the right you will find the Commission's 9 items for the future, and the arrows illustrate the overlap. It's interesting that much overlap, but it's also interesting to see that there are some outliers. The Commission have... Oh, I didn't get it on the slide. I'm sorry about that. I'll sort it for the final version. There are propositions from the Commission that the Green Knowledge Society study team did not find, and vice versa, and it's interesting to see what that tells us. So we need to move from these high-level macro discussions about policy issues and making them real, and I welcome you to the policy treadmill. Where we want to convert the policy visions all the way through to actionable objectives, concrete actions that require budget solutions, and actions, actual decisions which are not the same as accepted budgets. And then to implement it and follow up, and then back to policy vision. This is quite a humbling experience for anybody, and it's also very interesting and important. And all this is supposed to connect back to what I said in the beginning, the fight against climate change and the strengthening of the European economy. And as you realize, that was my final slide. Thank you.
Thank you, Anders. Just two questions for you. the first one, what kind of reaction did you have to this report? Because you published it at the early fall, 1st of September or something like that. Yeah. Can you give a picture of civil society initiatives to comment on this report? Did you have much comments or a few comments or...?
We haven't had much comments from civil society. Well, it's the work that Stefan Görling and his colleagues are doing, which is a new approach, connecting public opinion to one place, which is very important because otherwise the opinions will be very scattered, but this is an ambition to focus, which is very important. Mm-hmm. But besides of that, we had very much input from different stakeholder groups. Different groups taking initiative to their own reports to answer to this report or to prepare to how to face the different actions in it, and not only ours but also the Commission's communication. So there are a large number of more than 10, I would say, different reports and statements about what needs to be done, and more will come before Monday as well. Mm-hmm.
That's interesting to hear. And a question to the audience: if I remember correctly, Anders' list has 8 bullet points of areas, policy areas. Yeah. Is it 10 actually? Sorry. What was not included in those 10 points? Please think about this for the ending question round, so we'll know what is not there. Okay. Thank you very much, Anders.
Thank you.
And now for the next speaker, we'll go at once. Yes, please. Jean-Jacques Sahel at Skype Corporation, please.
Since I've got a little helmet, while Stefan is helping with the presentation, I can do a little Madonna dance on stage. First time I wear one of those, I don't know if you've ever tried, it's quite weird. And I think it was quite useful to have Anders's presentation. Prior to joining Skype, I was in government, and I participated in many of those discussions around the future of Europe's ICT policy. And I think it's interesting because the 10 points outline actually, I think, encapsulate pretty much everything. And I've seen those points before, and I've seen them in something called E2005, I think, and then something called E2006, and then I've seen them in something called I2010. And now we're talking about 2015. Some are already looking at Vision 20.
I think we have come to a position now where many of those organizations not only has to declare their responsibilities, but they also have to find an accountability to the government or accountability to ICANN or in other parts. So we have a good structure of how the responsibility are done and also how you overlook the responsibilities. The second part is the robustness of internet. Internet has been built from bottom, and it has a certain robustness. But we need more robustness, so we have backup functions. We also need secondary servers. If one go down, we have the secondary to use. We also have to mirror certain important servers for government and others. So if one fails, we have an updated other servers. We also, here in Sweden, learned that zone transfers in the DNS is very important, and that they also have to be secured and be looked to. And also the routing updates, one network talking to another network, that they have updates, that is also have a secure mechanism in it. That will make a better robustness of the infrastructure of internet. When it comes to application, many ISPs tells me that they get new applications to put on their systems, and they have a long time to verify that those applications really works very well. So we need stable and good applications, and that is an area where ISPs as well as content providers have certain much more to benefit to the internet users. We also have learned and heard much about net neutrality. Internet has a very open platform, and it should have an open platform. Every customer should be able to use the service that they want. They should be able to place an application in the network regardless of platform. We also think that it would be a good thing to have ISPs to exchange traffic on a higher level, what I just said about the routing update, so we get the more stable network. My last slide is what can Sweden do, not meaning for do for ICT in Europe, not do it instead of the rest of the Europe, but being more a forerunner, showing what could be done. Vin Cerf, that was here last week, said that it would be very good if many governments would sign a contract with ICANN. That would mean that ICANN then will be a multi-government organization, get support from several governments, and I would address to you all to think about that. That would mean that certain parts of the world that now criticizes ICANN will see more and more countries, more national governments that say, yes, we have an agreement, we have a contract with ICANN. That would give more stability to the organization and the responsibility of internet in the world. We also think that Sweden could do certain things. I think the Internet of Things is some technology that are coming. All parts, not only people, but all parts will be connected to internet. And here in this country, there is several applications that is run that way. By just focus on those and explain to rest of Europe what we have done could probably be a good showcase for Internet of Things. The last thing is security. And Sweden has been one of the first countries that has implemented secure DNS. And by implementing secure DNS, you also have to look into the certificates and also the key administration. Those are two very important and complicated things to look at, and we could probably give some experience on that. And my last part is also the finance industry needs more protection on frauds and things. So I think Sweden could give a good opportunity here. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. And now, if you four speakers, please will join us on stage, and we'll squeeze you all down into the sofa, or maybe this little tablet as well, for some, hopefully, some Q&A, some questions, and some even better elaborated answers. Someone might sit here as well. Do we have the microphone? Is there one running microphone? Is there, and we do have. Yeah, some extra here as well. So this will work. Are there any questions? Please.
Pierre-Dominique Lansard from France Telecom. I have a question to Jean-Jacques Sahel. I agree with you, we need actions. So could I ask you how many euros Skype is ready to invest in infrastructure, please?
Skype users will want to continue to make use of Skype, and therefore they'll continue to pay their very nice monthly subscriptions to operators such as France Telecom, and therefore infrastructure providers will continue to make a very nice return on investment. Thank you very much.
Mm. Okay, there's a question there. There are also standing microphones here, so please walk up to them if you feel like it or you are.
Yeah. my name is Oskar Jonsson, and I work at the Swedish Institute of Assistive Technology in a large EU project with France Telecom Orange and Telefonica, also the same project. And I work with care alarms, social care alarms over IP, because in Europe there is a change where customers or even governments had said that they will not use the public switched telephone network in all regions or at all. In 2015, the German government have made some forecasts. So we work with care alarms over IP, and also we can work with GSM plus GPRS. And we want to have all care alarm units monitored so that the care alarm receiving centers know when they're down. And my question is, how do you work with this question in the Visby agenda that there are in Sweden 160,000 users with analog care alarms that in a bricolage of solutions and in a transition would have secure care alarms. Tele2 lost 3.5 million users today, I think, in their GSM network.
Does anyone dare to answer the question?
There was a specific mention of how we work with it in the Visby agenda, and I can say that specifically on this we're not, since it's such a very particular question, but it's certainly recognized also as a very important question, and it will be taken care of, I expect, in the specific regulatory procedure of this issue.
They talk a lot about how to connect to 911, so 112, but there are no mention of how to connect in a secure way with care phones. It's okay to do this for burglar alarm and fire alarms, but social care alarms have yet not been
implemented
or deployed. Okay. In Sweden there are, in fact, okay. real users using it, but not in Europe.
I can just mention that there's work at the moment on what's called Next Generation 112. It's not directly related yet, but maybe there's an opportunity to plug in, and it's the idea is to develop as robust as possible means of connecting to the emergency services in as reliable a manner using new technologies. It's going to take time, and it's just started. I can tell you more afterwards if that's of interest.
We have the scenario now. So
thank you. Next speaker, please.
Hi, my name is Niklas Lundblad, and I work with the Stockholm Chamber of Commerce, and I'm on the Swedish government's ICT Council. And so my question is this, I mean, and I would like to ask it of all the panel participants, and it's if we look at the ICT policy plans for the European Union, you've all spoken about what they look like, about the agenda, how it's going to look in Visby, but what I'd like to hear from you is what you think is the greatest risk with the new agenda, where we could have, you know, the greatest kind of policy disaster. I think Jean-Jacques was touching on a couple of issues which he felt were fairly risky, but I would like to hear that from the rest of you as well. I'm thinking of policy disasters like the Electronic Signature Directive, for example, which completely hampered the development of any kind of ICT security solution within the European Union for, you know, a decade. So what do you think are the greatest places where the European Union can put its collective foot in its mouth this time?
Okay, who will start? Anders, start.
I think the greatest policy disaster would be that there would be no commitment to change at all, but only continue with business as usual. That would be a disaster.
Mm-hmm. Stefan?
I think there's two problems. One problem is that we try to do everything at once. I mean, if you look at these policies, they cover so many aspects when we in reality, having the 5-year time frame, having a lot of things which we have decided in 2004, 2005, still not being implemented in local law. There's a problem, I thought it was a Swedish problem, trying to do everything at once, but it's perhaps an overall politician problem that we try to do everything at once. But so one problem is that we need to focus more on what we want to do, because we have an implementation deficit, and it doesn't really help trying to do a lot of stuff badly instead of doing a few things very great. And the other thing I think is that the report, SAF report, opens up the room for more ex ante regulation, more specific regulation. And coming back to that, we asked people what do you want in the EU ICT policy, they said as little as possible, because there is a notion that whenever the EU makes policy, it often makes things worse, and opening up for a lot of short-term specific regulation might do damage in a lot of areas, I think, because you said something good, that policy is there to support the development, the innovation. It's not the politicians pushing the technology forward, it's the politicians running behind and trying to figure out what's happened. And so we shouldn't think that we actually steer the direction of what's happening.
Josh?
Just building on that, and that's kind of expanding on my first point in a way, we do need action clearly, and there are all sorts of priorities. I mean, yes, there are at least 10 big areas, and ideally we'd move on all 10 at the same time, but I think legislation is quite key, because the problem is the technology moves so fast, and if we just think about security, you know, what was spam 5 years ago, what was malware, look at what, you know, botnets are doing these days. You know, what are we going to do? Are we just going to add legislation all the time? I think what we need to have is a framework of legislation that is actually relying on fairly basic principles, consumer protection, competition, really all those fundamental principles, but then in the application of it, try and have regulators and policy officials that are properly equipped, that properly understand what they're talking about, and that apply the rules as technology evolves without changing them too frequently. It's both to give some clarity for industry generally, but I think it's also because there's not much point in just rewriting legislation all the time, and that's kind of what we do all the time. It's not easy, I'm not saying that, but what I'm hearing a lot in policy conferences is people, you know, trying to explain how the internet is changing, what's the future of the internet, which we're kind of doing here. But I keep on thinking, you know, these guys are taking decisions, they're making legislation that are going to impact how the internet is going to look for the next 20 years. They've got no idea how the 15-year-olds out there are using the internet. And it's the 15-year-olds out there that are going to potentially suffer from legislation that has been fought by people that actually don't really use the internet much except for their email.
I think it's a big challenge. If you think of it, it's 10 questions and it's 27 countries and it's 27 by 10 matrix. And if everybody wants to talk about each item, there will be very little time for everybody. So it's a great challenge to Visby Agenda. You can think of a model where you will cluster certain countries and topics among four items: green ICT, inclusion, infrastructure. That could sort of and put groups in various rooms. That's more another model of working, but I don't know if that is appropriate to do it right now. But I can see different models of how you run the agenda as such.
Sure. I think we need to be really humble about what we're actually doing and in what time frame we're doing. We talk about this is the new ICT policy which is going to help us out of the financial crisis, whereas the thing we make on policy level now will take like 5-10 years before it takes into action. So we should focus not on fixing this financial crisis, but rather the next financial crisis or the one after that. So the policy won't be in place and action having effect before that has passed.
Yeah, I'll try to dare to take the consequences of what you say and try to in some way sum up. You say that policy development is a very slow process, very much slower than technological development. Jean-Jacques mentioned basic principles rather than lawmaking in itself. Is this discouraging? Shall we at all talk about an ICT policy, or should we talk about a policy addressing growth and health and etc.?
I think we need to have an ICT policy which is cross-border, but yep. We also have to understand the various application maps into that. So I think we need a common ground, but the difficulties is to choose what is common and what is specific.
Yeah.
Institutionally, there could be something that we learned from the internet's decision-making process in the sense of multi-stakeholder participation in some kind of, you know, the IETF type way of working. It's actually quite remarkable what's been achieved through those processes over the last 15, 20 years. So that might be a way of thinking about how we could gather the input of the various sort of communities out there to make better policy. But that's a long-term thinking.
Okay. Well, it's certainly desirable to be in a position where we can drop the E altogether before health and government and everything else, and have regulation rely on consumer protection rules and competition rules and so forth. But we're not really there yet. Mm-hmm. We also need to remember that often, who are we that are talking about this? Well, I'm not sure if we have any Czech people in the audience or any people from Greece or Hungary. It's the northern Scandinavian and western part of Europe that are quite far ahead when it comes to ICT development, and not even we are there yet. So we have a ways to go, I believe.
Mm.
Thank
a bad assumption when you say that you state the policy the slowness of the policy process as a problem, and I've heard this for once or twice an hour for the last 2 days that technology is moving so fast. I'm not entirely sure that society is changing so extremely fast as we try to paint it, but I think policy process should be slow, but we need to address that kind of issues which we can address with the policy process. So it's not a bug, it's a feature.
Okay. Sir, please.
Thank you. Thank you. We heard a lot of things today. I have one question. Before that, what is ICT? ICT is a tool for doing things better and faster. Punkt. Number two, give me three issues, which you consider are the most important for the Swedish presidency to present, to propose. I would appreciate your 3 points. And then I'll give you my 3. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for this invitation. do I have 10 minutes? No,
three
I'm
points.
Sorry. I agree ICT is a tool, but it's not a physical tool in the sense that we tend to think of tools. It's a very malleable and plastic tool that can do very many things, many different things. That's why I think a tool analogy is not very good. Really, we need other analogies, but it's certainly an enabler in different ways. The three most important objectives, you said, it's what I started out by saying, really, creating an eco-efficient economy. And I believe ensuring access, take-up and use is very important to establish that. And removing as much as possible of obstacles to the free flow of information. This breaks down to all kinds of concrete issues such as regulation of next generation network and how to solve the IPR issue, how to establish trust and confidence in users and so forth. So my question for this panel would be, which is the one single most important policy action that would need to be taken? But I would prefer to ask that question, not to answer it. I'm not sure you're happy. I would like to hear your 3.
Okay. Anyone else? Or is there an answer?
I'm not sure whether to respond to the 3 or to the 1.
I'm not sure either.
I think on the goals, I think you're right, the internet and or ICTs more generally are or should be a tool. So yes, there is or there can be a policy specifically for that sector. But generally, we should try and have a policy that helps or that frees ICTs to deliver more for European economy and for European society, for people every day. So how we do that? I'm sort of tempted to say back off the internet from the government perspective. Fact is, we've already got plenty of legislation out there that works pretty well in the offline world. And in 99.9% of cases, it can be adapted very nicely to the online world. You don't need to recreate laws. That's why I say you need to just go back to very basic legal principles of competition and consumer protection. So enable innovation, enable the free flow of information so as to benefit people every day and businesses every day. That's really the key for me.
I think we more or less agree that, so I won't expand more on it.
Well, I can say, I think see to that the competition really is playing a great part in the internet, and also, as you said, the law, and what should be protected. Well, what we heard the Ministry of Justice this morning, I think, what should be protected must be protected.
Hmm. Okay.
So what's your 3 points?
My points. Number one, ICT is getting more expensive. Number two, ICT is getting more difficult to use. Number three, ICT is getting also risky for privacy. Virus, phishing, and so forth. These are the three points which has to be clearly addressed and need urgent action. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Questions? Remarks? Oh, there are two, sirs. Please, the running microphone. Please raise your hands again. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Dean Beaumont from SunGuard. My question is to Jean-Jacques. Are you advocating no gatekeepers, or are you advocating the right gatekeepers?
How do you define right? And how do you define gatekeepers in the first place? I think the question, if we're talking about access to the internet in this particular way, is there's a question of fairness and can be linked to competition, can be linked to consumer protection, freedom of speech, wider benefits for society. The point is, if you have control over access to the internet, well, you might also have other interests. And the important thing is not to try and beef up your other interests through the fact that you exercise control over that particular resource. I think that's the key. Then you can debate, the notion of gatekeepers at length. I don't have a problem as such. It's the behavior of the gatekeeper which is key. But maybe you want to expand on the question.
Well, I guess what concerned me about your point of view was it sounds good, but what happens when things go wrong or there is a breakdown of some sort or an attack of some sort? Who's going to protect the infrastructure, the ICT infrastructure across Europe?
Well, I certainly don't advocate for not protecting against, as I said, botnets and things like that. That's actually, it's not a question of fairness there. There's a question of doing things from a technical perspective to taking into account the realities. I haven't touched on the sort of lawful content or lawful services questions. I think the Minister of Justice was speaking this morning. I missed that, I'm afraid. That's yet another question. I certainly don't think that private actors are the best people placed to judge the lawfulness of things. That's something which, if anything, should be decided by the proper authorities according to existing law. I don't think the law should be much different on the online or the offline world. So that's really key. I'm certainly not advocating. I think actually it was put quite well in the other presentation. There has to be a balance between openness and security. I think it would be absolutely foolish to say that you shouldn't manage network to avoid security attacks. That's absolutely not what we're saying.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And sir.
Yeah, hello, Jean-Jacques. My name is Rainer Büppel from the German Federal Network Agency, Bundesnetzagentur. Nice to meet you today. There's one thing with the regulators. I think quite a few companies are quite happy that we are around, because if I look at the market today, then the major player, Deutsche Telekom, they lost about 60-70% in overseas calls to competitors, and that would have not been possible without the action of, let's say, the Federal Network Agency. Then a little anecdote. Skype is new, and what you're doing is very new. Some 100 years ago, Nikola Tesla, he's actually the father of the alternating current, also the father of the electric motor, also the father of the radio. He demonstrated a boat to the Navy, a radio-controlled boat, and it went over the river and back, well, let's say a lake. I think it was a small lake. And Nikola Tesla asked the admiral, "What do you think about my boat?" And the admiral said, what type of a stupid thing is that? What shall I do with it, you know? So that happens to innovations at times.
Okay.
Okay, any other questions or comments? Yes?
My name is Mohammad Marjan. I work as a consultant. My question is, it's to Anders Hector from the department. What's the process? You are going to have this ICT advice whatsoever. What's going to happen then? And how long it will take to go through all of these 27 member of states?
There's a clear roadmap. After Visby, there will be conclusions that the member states will negotiate together on a few occasions during November and December. And on December 18th, our ministers, the telecom ministers of Europe, will sit down and agree on a text that they all commit to. And this text is dispatched to the Commission. And then the Commission takes initiative for a new agenda, and then in March, or April rather, there will be another ministers' meeting in Spain, in Granada, I believe, where all the ministers will rubber stamp the Commission's initiative, if it's good.
Commissioner Reding did mention something about the IPv6 last year. It should be used by 25% of the entire EU by end of 2010. So the question is, how much this type of advice is going to be doneable?
That was a proposition by Commissioner Reding, and I really can't speak for her or the Commission. They haven't really followed through on the details of this, of the recommendation that came last winter, I believe, on the implementation of IPv6. But different member states are acting on their own to ensure that, Staffan will know more about this, obviously, about how to ensure that the backbone is IPv6 enabled and so forth. When she mentioned the figure 25% of users, I really don't understand what she referred to.
Well, it's on the website. Maybe I can send you the link.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's wrap this up for today. Thank you very much. Thank you, speakers. Please give the speakers an applause for them.